human experience, and particularly also in our culture, there is a lot of fear of judgment. You know, there are songs about God's judgment that makes it so capricious, as if the judgment day is coming and God with the bulldozer is going to bulldoze everybody out of the way. That's not what the judgment is. We come to the presence of God without fear. Boldly, the judgment day for the Christian is not a day of uncertainty. It's a day of joy. Because we stand before Him whom we have worshipped without seeing. And He rewards us. He doesn't punish us. The judgment day for the Christian is not a day of punishment. It's a day of reward. I know you don't like that. You wish I would say the judgment. Judgment is coming. Be afraid. That's for the sinner who has not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, judgment has no trepidation. Let us come boldly to the presence of God without any sense of shame, without any sense of fear. You know, one of the tragedies of the Christian life is when people think God has such a memory of their sins that He's looking for a way to pay them back. So sometimes when Christians go through difficulty, they ask themselves, what have I done wrong? What sin have I committed? Lord, what sin have I committed? Who tells you that God punishes you because you committed a sin 20 years ago? If you have come to Christ, you've asked for forgiveness, the blood of Jesus Christ washes you from all sin. What you are going through is not a result of your sins. It's life. It's life happening to you. And if it's life happening to you, you can go to the throne of God boldly. But when you think it's your sin that has brought that pain to you, then you are still turning away from God. You know, sometimes it gets so bizarre that even Christians, when something happens to another Christian, we wonder, what sin did he commit? A Christian loses a loved one. Maybe loses a wife, loses a husband, young, and we say, what sin did they commit? Maybe it's God punishing them. Maybe they are doing some secret sins we don't know. As for God, He sees in secret, oh, and He will punish people openly. Who tells you that's the God of the New Testament? Who tells you that's what the Bible teaches? That's not Bible. That's your culture. Unforgiving Ghanaian gods. There is a particular one somewhere in the Western region. They say that if you even appease him, he won't accept it. Appeasement, not accept. And people feel that is how God is. But the Bible says we have a high priest who is touched by infirmities. You think God is shocked by your sin? You think God is saying, oh, this my son is so perfect. He's so perfect. Oh, he's so perfect. He knows your thoughts. He knows you are not perfect. You can't shock God. That's why when you sin, don't run from him. Go boldly to him and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me, Lord. Lord, give me the power to overcome. And he will help you. We don't run from God when we sin. We run towards God when we sin. We come boldly into God's presence without a sense of shame, without a sense of fear. And what does God offer us when we come to him? The three things that the passage says that God gives to us when we come boldly to his presence. The first one is mercy, that we'll find mercy, God's kindness extended to us. Under the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, had on top of it the mercy seat. God's seat is a mercy seat. Mercy allows us to approach God. Mercy gives us an audience before God. Mercy is what allowed God to hear us. It's because of his mercy. Not because of your effort, because of His mercy, we are not consumed. It's because of His mercy that we are who we are. It's because of His mercy that we breathe in air and breathe out every day. It's because of His mercy that you slept yesterday and woke up today. It's because of His mercy. And when we come before Him, new mercies are made available to us. New mercies, daily mercy. Every day we need the mercy of God. And that's why every day we must come boldly to the presence of God. We obtain mercy from Him, not judgment. God's mercy. That's the first thing. The second thing that we receive from God is His grace. Grace is God's ability extended to us. The Greek word for grace means to be joyful, to rejoice, to be happy. It's about the joy God has when we come before Him and the joy we receive when we are in His presence. Let us come before God that we may receive grace, joyfulness. The image that word paints in our minds is that of a father who is so joyful. It's loaded with gifts, toys, precious gifts for his children. Calls his children and he's laughing and he's joyful and he's rejoicing and he's distributing the gifts to them. That's what grace is. Grace is God's joyful distribution of gifts to us. And when we come before the presence of God, He joyfully distributes gifts to us. He gives us ability. He gives us strength. His grace is our sufficiency. And He joyfully gives grace to us. That's what we get from God's presence. And not only that, we receive help from God. Help is God's assistance to us in our time of need. And God's help is always appropriate. And He helps us in many ways. He helps us by speaking to us. He helps us by prompting us and alerting us of danger. He helps us by showing us a way of escape. He helps us by bringing the right people into our lives. He helps us by delivering us from the things we don't see. He helps us by blowing away our problems. And sometimes He helps us by giving us the strength to carry our problems. He helps us by offering us a better way. God's help is not the same for everybody at every time. For some people, God helps them by taking the burden out of the way. For other people, God helps them by giving them extra strength to carry the burden. So you may see somebody and say, but God took his burden away. The difference is the other one didn't receive strength to carry, so the problem was taken away. You receive strength to carry, the problem is there, but you are carrying it. And everybody who sees, both of you have a testimony. Both of you have a testimony. One of you would say, oh, I was in trouble and God delivered me. The other one would say, oh, God gave me strength to overcome this problem and to carry it. People who are watching you both see God. One says, oh, that one was delivered. And the other says, wow, I can see how God has enabled them to carry that problem, to go through that problem without it crushing them. Both are acts of God. Both are testimonies to God. For some, God delivers you. For some, God gives you strength. God's help is not the same to everybody at the same time. That's why you cannot claim somebody's miracle. I mean, it's good when we sing and say, what he's done for others, he'll do for us, but should not be translated as exactly what he did for others, he'll do for you. What he did for others is he helped them. What he'll do for you is he'll help you. but the help he gave to somebody else may not be the help that he gave to you. Somebody is crossing the road. Car is speeding. And as he's crossing the road, just about to be crushed by the car, somebody pulls him out from the way. Is that an act of God? Yes. Has God delivered them? Yes. The other person is coming and God says, don't use that road. Use the other road. They never see a rushing car and they never see the danger. Has God delivered them? Yes. One looks dramatic. The other doesn't look dramatic, but both have been delivered by God. That is God's help. That is God's help. You cannot say, but that is a powerful testimony. But what about the one who was not even allowed to cross the road? That's also a testimony. What he does for others, he does for us only by giving us help, but not by repeating the same thing in our lives. And each one of us, God is helping us. As a matter of fact, he's making you avoid things you don't even know exist. He's making you avoid traps that you don't even exist. Other people, he speaks to them and they are so disobedient, they'll go and step into that trap. So he now has to pull their leg out. That's only when we see God has delivered. But what about all of us that God protected? We didn't fall into the trap and he led us. And the Bible says when we come to the presence of God, to the throne of God, we receive that. We receive mercy, we receive grace, and we receive help in our time of need. At the time of need, at the time the need is there, God gives you the help. And he's helping each one of us. If you are his child, he's helping you. And that's why we come boldly to his presence, without any shame, without any guilt, without any fear, because we have a high priest who went through what we have gone through and overcame everything that is a threat to our lives. Amen. Now, before I conclude, some people say there are many ways to God. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches there is only one way. Jesus was bold to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The church is not the way. Attending church is not the way. Being a church member is not the way. Knowing the pastor is not the way. Receiving a prophecy is not the way. Giving an offering is not the way. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. And if we want to approach God's presence, we come through Jesus. We come on the merit of who he is, what he has done for us, and receive it. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary. He suffered not for his sin, but for our sins. He was crucified, he died, and he resurrected. And he made a very big promise that whosoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. Before I close my teaching on boldness and coming boldly to the presence of God, there are some of you who probably have been coming to church. Maybe you consider this as your church, and maybe you've been telling people these days, I go to church, you know, I like going to church. And it's good to go to church, but it's better to know Jesus. Because you can go to church and if you don't have Christ, it means nothing. So today, if you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you want to come boldly to God through Christ, you want to receive him as your Lord and personal Savior, you want to ask him to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all sin, you want to ask him to save you from sin and from damnation and the judgment, and you want to give you eternal life, both in this life and in the next, then Jesus Christ will offer all of that to you. And when you come to Him boldly this morning, He will give you salvation and give you eternal life. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here this morning and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to receive salvation. I want to be born again. I want to have eternal life. I want to know without any shadow of doubt that I have peace with God through Christ Jesus. If that's your desire, if that's your heart cry, you want to have this intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something very simple, just to indicate your willingness to start this new journey. If that's your heart desire and you want to start with Jesus Christ, wherever you are sitting, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just lift up your hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand wherever you are sitting. Just let your hand be up. Let your hand be up. God bless you. Let your hand be up. Let your hand be up. Wherever you are sitting in the auditorium, let your hand be up. If you want to have this new journey with Jesus Christ, you want Him to come into your heart. You want Him to save you from sin. You want Him to deliver you. You want Him to give you eternal life. Let your hand be up. We want to see you. We want to see where you are sitting. Now, those of you with your hand up, I want you to put that hand on your heart, on your chest. Just put that hand you've lifted on your heart. And the reason is to mean that we're going to pray very soon, and you put your hand on your heart to mean, I am very sincere about what I'm doing today. I'm very sincere. And we're going to pray a very simple prayer. And all of us will join in that prayer to affirm Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you today just as I am. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. But I thank you, Father, that Jesus came to save me. He offered Himself for my sin. And in Him, I have life. I have abundant life. Today, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation, which I now receive by faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's celebrate the Lord.